This message comes from NPR sponsor Hulu. Based on shocking true events, the new Hulu original series, Under the Bridge, tells the story of a savage murder in a small town. Starring Riley Keough and Lily Gladstone, Under the Bridge is now streaming with new episodes Wednesdays only on Hulu.
If you're a business owner, you know these sounds mean sales. And from the sound of it, your business is growing. Whether you're fulfilling orders from your home office or warehouse, Stamps.com helps you stress less about mailing and shipping and spend more time doing what you love most. Listening to ASMR. I mean, growing your business. But as you grow, so does the need for efficiency. Stamps.com simplifies your shipping and mailing process. Import orders from wherever you sell online. Find the lowest rates with the fastest delivery times. Instantly deliver tracking updates to your customers. And buy shipping and mailing supplies when you run low. Save time and money on mailing and shipping. Get started at Stamps.com today with code PROGRAM for a 4-week trial, free postage, and a digital scale.
From NPR and WBEZ Chicago, this is Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, the NPR News Quiz. City of Steel, meet Voice of Gold. I'm Bill Curtis, and here is your host at the Benedum Center, a venue of the Pittsburgh Cultural Trust in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, Peter Sagal.
Thank you, Bill. Thank you, everybody. Thank you, Pittsburgh. We're just as excited. We have a great show for you today. Later on, we're going to be playing Not My Job with the legendary Pittsburgh Steelers head coach, Bill Cowher. He is now a regular on the NFL Today on CBS, where, somewhat surprisingly, all the other analysts predicted he would lose by 6 points to the Browns today. And they're not even here. But first, we want to see if you can beat the spread. Give us a call. The number is 1-888-WAIT-WAIT. That's 1-888-924-8924. Let's welcome our first listener contestant. Hi, you're on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Hi, this is Elizabeth from Waterbury, Connecticut.
Oh, I know Waterbury. What do you do there?
I'm a Salesforce administrator for a nonprofit.
Okay, that sounds... I'm just going to say exciting. I'm going to say that's an exciting job.
Basically, if I do my job, no one else has to worry about doing their job. So.
Wow. I feel you and yeah. You and me both, sister, you know? Well, Elizabeth, welcome to the show. Let me introduce you to our panel this week. First, it's a comedian and writer. You can follow on Instagram at Maeve in America. It's Maeve Higgins.
Hi.
Hello.
Next, he's the host of the Mobituaries podcast and author of Roctogenarian's Late in Life Debuts, Comebacks, and Triumphs on pre-sale now. It's Mo Rocca.
Hi, Liz. What's up?
Hello.
And she's a comedian and the host of the podcast Fake the Nation. She'll be announcing her summer dates soon on NagineFarsad.com. That's right. It's Nagine Farsad.
Hi.
Hello.
So, Elizabeth, welcome to our show. You're going to play Who's Bill this time. Bill Curtis, of course, is going to start us off with three quotations from the week's news. If you can correctly identify or explain just two of them, just two, you will win our prize, any voice from the show you might choose. You ready to go?
I'm so ready. Let's go.
All right. That's the attitude. Here is your first quote.
Tired of not hitting your weight goals, big guy?
Now, that was marketing from a company called Fella Health. And they are among the first to market what popular weight loss drug directly to men?
Ozempic?
Ozempic, yes! Ozempic for men! Hey, men, are you tired of just punching the weight off of your face? Try Ozempic, or as these marketers are really calling it, Brozempic. Ozempic, of course, has primarily been taken by women so far, so Fella Health and other companies are trying to convince men not to think of it as girly. Quote, we're a mechanic, you're bringing in a car that needs to get fixed, said the CEO of Fella Health, a talking rack of barbecued ribs.
They should do like an Ozempic Viagra combo thing. Right? Because Viagra's already figured out. It's popular.
But you don't want a skinny little... Yeah. That's not what you meant.
Right. That's
I like big fat guys and big fat girls.
You like really? You like big fat guys with big fat girls.
Yeah, I like just big fat people.
Yeah. Right. You don't want to be like, meet my boyfriend, he's wasting away.
Oh yeah, you have him up on your shoulders. Come on, yeah, sweetie. Yeah. Come on.
I'll carry you bag of bones today.
Yeah, but I only date guys whose legs can like cross over at the knee and at the ankle.
Yeah. If I can't count the ribs, I'm not interested.
All right, Elizabeth. Here is your next quote.
Brace yourselves. A huge number of them are going to live, make sweet love, and die in a tree near you.
That was Wired magazine warning us about the imminent appearance of trillions of what?
The cicadas?
Cicadas, yes, they are coming. They're already here. It is the convergence of a 17-year cicada brood and a 13-year brood. Mm. They'll be emerging at the same time, something that has not happened since 1803. Imagine how thrilled all the cicadas will be to find out the laws in Arizona haven't changed at all.
And these two broods hate each other.
Oh, it's going to be.
They're like the Montagues and the Capulets of cicadas.
But like in cicada sound.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah. That's why like the hot cicada summer has been trending all over TikTok.
Exactly. It is perhaps the sexiest summer, right? Because as you heard Bill say, that's why they come out of ground. They haven't seen each other in like 17 or 13 years. They're like all hanging out. Oh, hey, you. Hey, how are you? Hey, it's been so long. Are you still screaming for sex?
And is there anything good about them? Like, is it...
I like the sound. You don't like the sound?
Well, there's nothing particularly good for us. They're generally harmless, but it is an unlimited, all-you-can-eat bug buffet for birds.
Oh.
They love it. One entomologist said, quote, it's like if you walked outside and found the whole world swarming with flying Hershey's Kisses.
Oh, my God.
But here's the irony. All the birds just started on Ozempic.
I was going to say.
But you know what, Peter? Cicadas apparently taste like shrimp.
Oh.
Ooh.
Especially the garlic lemon cicada.
Yes. Okay, Elizabeth, here is your last quote.
Why do they need all that money?
That was the New York Times talking about Vanderbilt University in Nashville becoming the first institution to charge $100,000 a year for what?
Tuition.
Tuition, yes. It's done. The barrier has been breached. Next year, your child could become the first ever college student to sleep through $100,000 worth of classes. Vanderbilt, now you may be wondering, why Vanderbilt? Well, they can do this because since Taylor Swift lives in Nashville, the average household income there is $100 million.
Well, basically the only people that are going to be able to afford Vanderbilt are Vanderbilts.
Right, exactly. Yes.
And is that for a specific class? Like, is that to become money itself or something? Like, how do you...
You actually become money.
You become a railroad baron.
Yes. Yeah. In the classic.
But, like, can you study anything and it will be a bit cheaper? Do you know what I mean?
I love the idea. It's like, oh, I got to pick a major. What's on a discount?
Yeah.
Well, we got pottery. That's on sale, you know.
I know you thought that, like, the caviar at the student union was too much, but it's so delicious, guys.
I mean, I am all for a liberal arts education. I have one myself. I appreciate it. But with $100,000 tuition, you better be majoring in, like, oil profiteering.
But isn't it the case now that, like, you can get your student loans forgiven if you make it to, like, 98 years old and you've worked as a social worker for 78 of those years?
Those are, in fact, the conditions.
Yeah. It's such a great deal.
But are we like, do we sound like these people that are like, in my day, it only cost $80,000 to go to school? Yeah. You know what I mean?
But I don't want to be that guy who's like, in my country, you don't have to pay. It can be a riot.
Don't be that guy. Don't be that guy, man.
I'm that guy. Sorry. You're all welcome.
Bill, how did Elizabeth do in our quiz?
She made it to the final three. She is perfect.
Congratulations. Yay, Elizabeth.
Thank you.
Good luck carrying everybody else in your shoulders, Elizabeth. Aww. Thank you so much. Take care.
Thanks much, everybody.
Right now, panel, put on your dark glasses because it is time for a new game we're calling...
Don't stare directly at this quiz.
So Monday's total solar eclipse generated a lot of news. We're going to ask you about some of it rapid fire, true, false style. Get yours right, you win a point. Here we go. Maeve, true or false? The day after the eclipse, Google reported a massive spike in the search, is there another eclipse this week?
Oh. I think that's probably false.
That is false. The day after they reported a massive spike in the search, why do my eyes hurt?
Oh, no.
Mo, true or false, doctors found that the cause of some patients' blurry vision and ocular pain was the sunscreen they had put on their eyes.
Oh, please, Lord, let this be true.
It is.
You're not supposed to put sunscreen in your eyes.
You're not, Maeve. No, no. Nagin, true or false, a farmer in Arkansas made tiny glasses for his chickens to wear during the eclipse.
Oh, true.
Absolutely true. The farmer also made glasses for his cows, but, quote, the cows refused to wear them. Cows have dignity. Maeve, true or false, a TV station in Mexico has apologized after airing an image of a lunar eclipse and saying it was the solar eclipse.
False.
It's false. They are apologizing after airing an image of a man's testicles and saying it was the solar eclipse.
That happens to the best of us.
It really does. Mo, true or false?
God, that sounds like a side effect of Brozempic or something.
Mo, true or false, the residents of a town in the path of the totality in Michigan urged their mayor to close all the roads to keep out tourists.
True.
No, false. They urged the mayor to, quote, stop the eclipse. He responded, quote, I do not have the authority to do that.
It's federal.
And that was this edition of Don't Stare Directly at This Quiz. We will be back with a new edition in 2044.
Moonlight in your eyes.
Coming up, The Secret to a Star's Success. It's our Bluff the Listener game. Call 1-888-WAIT-WAIT-TO-PLAY. We'll be back in a minute with more of Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me from NPR.
This message comes from NPR sponsor Policy Genius. Life insurance should be a part of your financial plan and usually costs more as people get older. Policy Genius's technology makes it easy to compare life insurance quotes. Policies start at just $292 per year for $1 million of coverage. Save time and money and provide your family with a financial safety net. Head to policygenius.com to get your free life insurance quotes and see how much you could save. Support for this NPR podcast and the following message comes from Easy Cater, committed to helping companies from nonprofits to the Fortune 500 find food for meetings and company events with online ordering and 24/7 live support. Learn more at easycater.com. This message comes from NPR sponsor Stearns and Foster. To Stearns and Foster, your comfort is their everything. So they've made a mattress that's irresistible inside and out. Every Stearns & Foster mattress is handcrafted. Every stitch, every layer uses the finest materials like indulgent memory foam and ultra-conforming IntelliCoils for the coziness you want with the support you need. Timeless quality for your most comfortable sleep. Stearns & Foster, what comfort should be. More at stearnsandfoster.com.
From your car radio to your smart speaker, NPR meets you where you are in a lot of different ways. Now we're in your pocket. Download the NPR app today.
From NPR and WBEZ Chicago, this is Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, the NPR News Quiz. I'm Bill Curtis. We are playing this week with Nagin Farsad, Maeve Higgins, and Mo Rocca. And here again is your host at the Benedum Center in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, Peter Sagal.
Thank you, Bill. Thank you, everybody. Thank you. Right now, it's time for the Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me Bluff the Listener game. Call 1-888-WAIT-WAIT to play our game on the air. Or check out the pinned post on our Instagram page, at Wait, Wait, NPR. Hi, you are on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Hello, this is Karen Pride. I'm calling from Portland, Maine.
Well, Portland, we love. We were just there not long ago. What do you do there in that beautiful place?
I am a jeweler. I can get just about anybody out of any fix, and I can get it there on time.
Oh my God. That is a bold promise, my friend.
Sounds like a jewel thief.
All right, so since that's how you pitched your services, what kind of trouble are you getting people out of with your products?
We have had animals eat rings off of veterinarians' fingers.
Wait, why would a veterinarian propose to a sick animal?
They're caring, Maeve. They're caring. Well, Karen, welcome to the show. You're going to play our game in which you must try to tell truth from fiction. Bill, what is Karen's topic?
Secrets of the rich and famous.
All very successful people have a secret. And yes, 99% of the time, it's just they're a Nepo baby. But sometimes, it's actually cool. This week, we learned an untold story of a great talent who had a secret. Our panelists are going to tell you about it. Pick the one who's telling the truth. You will win the Wait Waiter of your choice in your voicemail. You ready to play?
Ready.
All right. First, let's hear from Nagin Farsad.
Neil deGrasse Tyson is known for being the chatty astrophysicist who uses the power of science to prove why movies are wrong. But when he started out, he spent a lot of time alone in front of a telescope, tracking comets, measuring radial velocity, and endlessly judging Pluto. But while his mind expanded, his bottom flattened. Enter Irish River Dance. According to legend, Irish step dancing originated so the Irish could dance behind hedges without the British noticing, which seems both like a stereotype and a fact that Tyson would debunk. But soon enough, he transformed into some kind of astronomy duck, calm and collected on the top and wildly moving on the bottoms. Rumor has it he once tried to get Carl Sagan to join in on the lower body dance fun, but Sagan reportedly said, "No, dude, people already think we're weird from being obsessed with space."
Neil deGrasse Tyson takes inspiration from river dance and Irish dancing to keep fit while keeping his head very still. Your next tale of a talent comes from Mo Rocca.
It's not over till the fat lady sings. More like it's not happening until Pavarotti puts away the Putinesca. According to Peter Gelb, general manager of New York's Metropolitan Opera, the late great tenor Luciano Pavarotti mandated in his rider that heaping plates of pasta be waiting just off stage for him to woof down between scenes. Pavarotti actually sang better after going on a diet in the mid-70s, but the cravings won out. Nope, no Ozempic for this Otello. Instead, some Bucatini for his Bohème. That's right, while Mimi was on stage dying from consumption, Pavarotti's Rodolfo was just off stage living for consumption of carbonara. It's all for the best. Had the pasta not been there, there was a more than decent chance Pavarotti would have scarfed down a soprano. Some manicotti with his Maria Callas, some rigatoni with his Renata Tibaldi.
The great tenor Luciano Pavarotti kept up his energy during those lengthy operas by running off stage and eating specially hidden caches of pasta. Your last story of a star is a secret comes from Maeve Higgins.
Hollywood was rocked this week by revelations that one of their biggest and shortest stars had been keeping a secret for decades. The star, Al Pacino. The secret, a gorgeous blonde named Miss Gigi. You guessed it. All this time, Al Pacino has been getting voice lessons from a golden retriever. The actor, famed for his barking style of speech, spoke about his relationship with the dog after the canine correspondent from The Hollywood Reporter found several receipts for throat lozenges and milk bones in Mr. Pacino's trash. In a short statement, yelled across the courtroom for no real reason, Mr. Pacino said, "I met Miss Gigi on the set of Scent of a Woman, back when she was tracing the scents of various different women. And I discovered, along with a great nose, she has this wonderful voice over her." So now we know. When Al Pacino uttered the immortal line, "Say hello to my little friend," he really meant man's best friend, a dog.
Feels so real.
So, Karen, here are your choices. From Nagin Farsad, astronomer Neil deGrasse Tyson, who used the techniques of river dance, Irish dancing, to do his dancing while looking through telescopes. From Mo Rocca, how Luciano Pavarotti kept his strength up during those arduous operas by running off stage and eating the contractually stipulated plates of pasta that were there. Or from Maeve Higgins, Al Pacino's vocal coach is in fact a golden retriever. So which of these is the story of a star's secret helper?
I just love the idea of people in the front row of the opera saying, "Do you smell garlic?" I
All right. You have chosen Mo's story of Luciano Pavarotti eating pasta during performances. Well, we spoke to somebody who actually reported on this secret.
Marathon runners eat pasta, don't they? And, you know, an opera is somewhat the equivalent of a musical marathon, isn't it?
Yeah, that was Ollie Coleman. He is the deputy editor of Page 6 in the New York Post, because who else would have been drawn to this story? He was actually defending the eating of pasta during operas. Congratulations, Karen. You got it right. You earned a point for Mo for all his pasta alliteration, and you have earned our prize, the voice of anyone of us you might choose for your voicemail. Congratulations.
Thank you so much.
Tell me what the secret is. Tell me what the secret is. Tell me what the secret is.
And now the game we call Not My Job. Our guest today needs no introduction in his hometown of Pittsburgh. Everybody comes up to him and thanks him for his 15 years coaching the hometown team, the Pittsburgh Steelers, leading them to their first Super Bowl win in decades, which may be why he had to move to New York. Coach Bill Cowher, welcome back to Pittsburgh, and welcome to Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Thank you.
So I want to establish something first, that I wasn't kidding about that, that after you became the hometown hero who took over the team, brought them back to the Super Bowl, and won it, it kind of got hard for you to wander around town. Is that right?
Yeah. I mean, it was, So, you know, I said when I came back here was, if I can just make 3 years, I can go back to my 20th high school class reunion as a head coach of my hometown team. And ironically enough, that third year, we lost in the championship game to the San Diego Chargers. And we had the reunion, and it was on a boat on the side, the Gateway Clipper, and I just thought, okay, my wife says, you know, we're not going back there. She goes, we're not going back there because you're going to sit there and just be with all your buddies. And then I go, no, we'll stop and we'll say hi.
Right.
Right. So we got on the boat, and we start talking, and then the boat took off.
So just to set the scene.
This is like a 3-hour cruise. I'm like, oh man.
You are stuck on a boat with your high school classmates.
And my wife was getting madder and madder as the night's going on. And then the guys were getting drunker and drunker and telling me all the things I did wrong in the San Diego Chargers game. And then they'll ask you why, oh, you think you're too good for us to get us tickets. So everyone wanted tickets. Like, oh, now you can't talk to us anymore. So I got off the boat, my wife wasn't talking to me, and made half the people there mad, and it was kind of to put the tipping on that year, because we lost the championship game to a team we should have beat. So it was kind of like, that was kind of my career.
Yeah. I love the fact that you were yourself a professional football player, you were fearless in the field, but you couldn't handle the Steelers fans in your face.
Yeah,
I was one of them at one point. I know what they're about.
Oh, yeah, they're the worst.
Now, you became a coach at a young age, so that means you had to learn quickly what I assume are the essential skills of coaching, which include doing these interviews on the field sometimes and after the game, in which you manage to say nothing.
Right.
And so is there a secret to that?
Yes. So ask me a question. I know what I want to say, and your question is irrelevant.
Right. All right. We'll try it. We'll try it. I'm going to ask you. I'm going to ask you.
Because I want to control the narrative.
All right. Okay. So we're going to test you, because I'm going to ask you a tough question now.
Okay, great.
In front of this crowd, you're going to show me how it's done. Right. So I understand you have lived many years now in New York City.
Yeah.
Is New York better than Pittsburgh?
You know, one of the greatest things about New York City is the diversity. One of the greatest things about living in Pittsburgh is the upbringing. And when you combine the two of them, you recognize that your core values that you've learned came from the city of Pittsburgh. But yet it was able to allow you to sit there and go to this great city of diversity in New York City with multitudes of people, but it's that grounding that you had in Pittsburgh that allows you to survive.
So what's your takeaway?
That was amazing. Yeah.
Can I try a question?
Yes.
Coach Cower, you have one of history's great jaws. Is it true that you once opened a can of tuna fish with your jaw?
No, but you asked me one more question, I can open up your head.
Hey!
I'm good. No, we're good.
You're good. Did you?
I know. I used to show my emotion a lot.
Well, you did, actually. I mean,
I didn't think about what I never... I was very passionate about our job, and I wanted our team to be passionate about our job.
Yeah.
So sometimes I had to be the calm in the storm, and sometimes I had to be the storm. That was my attempt.
That's actually... This is relevant because we're about to ask you to play a game, and I saw a film about you in which you said that one of the things you had learned as a player and then as a coach was that some players need to be encouraged.
Yes.
And some players need to be yelled at. Depends.
Yes.
What motivates them.
Right.
What kind are you?
Yelled at.
You get yelled at.
I guess I was raised that way.
Okay.
I was warranted. I mean, but you grow up in Pittsburgh, sometimes you don't sugarcoat things, you know?
Right.
We just kind of tell it the way it is.
Has anyone ever even yelled on NPR?
having watched a lot of film of the coach last week, not like he does. So, all right.
All right.
Terry Gross, freshen that air.
You didn't even consider all things.
Morning edition, my ass.
Now you're starting to sound like a Pittsburgher.
There you go.
I like this.
Well, Coach Cower, we are delighted to talk to you, and we've invited you here to play a game that we like to play, and this time we are calling it
Bill Cower, Meet These Cowards.
All right. So you clearly have some guts, as you have sown. So we are going to ask you, Bill Cower, three questions about people who chickened out.
Ooh.
Get two right, you'll win our prize for one of our listeners, the voice of anyone they might choose for their voicemail. Bill, who is Coach Cower playing for?
Josh Smith of Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania.
You got there. Ready to go?
Yeah.
Here's your first question. Robert Ford, or as he is known to history, the coward Robert Ford, famously shot Jesse James in the back. He was so widely condemned for that act that he spent the next few years doing what? A, finding anyone with the last name James and apologizing to them in case it was a relative. B, touring the country with his brother, reenacting the murder live on stage. Or C, allowing people for a 5-cent fee to shoot him in the back with a BB gun.
What?
It's hard, isn't it?
It is.
What was number two?
Number two was he toured the country with his brother, reenacting his murder of Jesse James live on stage.
Number two.
You're going to go with number two. You're going to go with number the second choice. That is correct. That's what he did. They didn't have a lot of options for entertainment back then, before pro football. All right. Next question. The producer William Castle made horror movies back in the 50s and 60s, and among his many marketing gimmicks, he once offered customers refunds if his movie was too terrifying for them. So many people took advantage of the deal that Castle finally did what? A, he required people present a genuine pair of wetted pants to prove how scared they were. B, make them go to his, quote, refund office to get it, which he put on the top of a greased 100-foot pole. Or C, forced anyone who asked for that refund to go sit in the coward's corner where a recorded voice would yell, watch the chicken, watch him shiver in coward's corner.
So weird.
I'd say C.
Yeah, that's right, coach. So, and not only that.
It's a coward's corner?
Coward's corner. Oh, you can have coward's corner in the show if you want. But no, not only did he do that, but in order to get to coward's corner, you had to walk down a path with the sign, cowards keep walking, and they had a, quote, nurse to take your blood pressure. All right, last question. You can go for perfect and win it all. Napoleon Bonaparte, French emperor, was not known for cowardice, but he did run away once. From what? A, a group of school children making fun of him for putting his hand in his jacket like that all the time. B, a horde of 1,000 hungry rabbits. Or C, a bunch of taller officers who liked to rest their drinks on his head.
A.
A, you're gonna go for A. All right, let me try your style of coaching here. A, you think the answer is A?
Peter's trying really hard to get you to think it's not A.
Okay,
I'll tell
B.
You what.
B, it's B, of course, yes. 1,000 hungry rabbits. So, for relaxation one day, the emperor went out and was supposed to be at one of these arranged hunts for aristocrats where they would release the rabbits, but the rabbits, who were domestic, thought they were going to get fed, so they rushed the party of hunters. And Napoleon and his retinue all ran away. Bill, how did Coach Gower do in our quiz?
It's what the Chargers score should have been. 3 right for a win.
Bill Cower is the Super Bowl winning former coach of the Pittsburgh Steelers. Bill Cower, thank you so much for joining us on Wait, Don't Tell Me. Give it up for the coach. In just a minute, a place it's definitely not safe to get back in the water in our Listener Limerick Challenge. Call 1-888-WAIT-WAIT to join us in the air. We'll be back in a minute with more of Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me from NPR.
This message comes from NPR sponsor Capella University. Sometimes it takes a different approach to unlock your true potential. Capella University's game-changing FlexPath learning format is designed to help you learn relevant skills at your own pace, so you can earn your degree on your terms and apply what you learn right away. Imagine your future differently at capella.edu. This message comes from NPR sponsor BritBox, streaming acclaimed original series you won't find anywhere else. With powerful performances from Jodie Whittaker, Tamara Lawrence, Bella Ramsey, Matthew McFadyen, and more. Streaming at BritBox.com/NPR.
The Indicator from Planet Money is all in on video games. Not just because they're a fun hobby. Video games are one of the fastest growing businesses worldwide, worth more than the film and music industries combined.
We're seeing some games that are really taking, $500 million to make.
We're taking a week-long look at the video game industry. Listen to the Indicator from Planet Money podcast on NPR.
From NPR and WBEZ Chicago, this is Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, the NPR News Quiz. I'm Bill Curtis. We are playing this week with Mo Rocca, Nagin Farsad, and Maeve Higgins. And here again is your host at the Benedum Center in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, Peter Sagal.
Thank you, Bill. In just a minute, it's our Super Bowl, the Listener Limerick Challenge. If you'd like to play, it's a little easier than the real one, but it still counts. If you'd like to play, give us a call at 1-888-WAIT-WAIT. That's 1-888-924-8924. Right now, panel, some more questions for you from the week's news. Mo, experts are now saying that no matter how much affection you feel for the birds you see, you should no longer do what to them?
Kiss them.
Exactly right, Mo.
Yes.
In fact, you got that so quickly, I'm a little suspicious.
Because, I mean, and it's hard not to feel like you're in a cartoon when a bird flies near you. And in the cartoons, you kiss birds, don't you?
What cartoons have you been watching?
Snow White.
Is that
Snow
White?
No, I feel like Cinderella and Snow White have both made out with birds.
We have made out. Okay.
What versions have you been watching?
Yeah.
Ness, the advice is do not kiss birds. Specifically, do not kiss sick birds. We get it. Birds are helpless, they're fluffy, and sexy as hell. But just don't do it. Apparently, many people like Mo are doing it because this is the real headline on this story from the New York Times. Quote, seriously, now is the time to stop kissing sick birds.
Hold on a second. I find it rude and cold if you meet a lovebird to extend your hand. It's just weird.
And the bird's like, what happened to
us? It's a lovebird.
But you're also like, in your situation, you're like making out with them, and they're like...
Well, that's what happened when I met Big Bird. And I demanded it.
Right.
What's uncomfortable is all the people who, when told they should not kiss the birds, are kind of like upset and ask for exceptions. Like, you know, okay, fine, no kissing, but over the feather stuff is still okay, right?
You can go through the bases with a bird real quick. They're small.
That's true.
Especially those city pigeons.
a pocket bird.
Mo, I have one more question for you. Mo, this week a German art museum fired an employee after they discovered that he had done what?
That he had licked all the paintings. No, what is a clue?
Lichtenstein.
What's that?
What is a clue?
Oh no, I mean, can you give me a clue?
Oh, okay, fine. I was going to define it. I thought you knew after all these years.
Existential.
You would
question.
Like a clue? Here's one. Well, okay, here's a clue. There's nothing like confidence for an artist.
Oh, he was putting up his own painting.
Yes, he did. He did. He put up his own art in the museum without asking permission. In hopes of, quote, achieving his artistic breakthrough, the employee drilled two holes in the museum gallery's wall in order to hang his own work. He was immediately fired for the stunt, but we should just be grateful he did not work at a natural history museum. Don't tell anyone I brought in some bones from home.
Was it any good, the art?
That is a good question, and frustratingly, none of the articles we could find about this said so. I would have loved, because wouldn't it be great if, like, he turns out to be the next great artist, and that's how he was discovered?
Yeah, because that's, like, the Goodwill Hunting moment where, like, Matt Damon's, like, doing the calculus problem whatever, yeah. And that guy was, like, really, yeah, turns out he could do calculus.
It was like, Van Bro.
That's movies. it's the real world. It was probably just cats with really big eyes.
Beautiful.
Coming up, it's Lightning Fill in the Blank, but first it's a game where you have to listen for the rhyme. If you'd like to play on air, call or leave a message at 1-888-WAIT-WAIT. That's 1-888-924-8924. You can see us most weeks back at the Studebaker Theater in downtown Chicago, and you can come see our panelists on the Wait Wait stand-up tour. Shows are coming to Syracuse, Baltimore, and Hershey, Pennsylvania between the 26th of April and the 28th. Information and tickets are over at nprpresents.org. Hi, you are on Wait Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Hi, this is Nash calling from Raleigh, North Carolina.
Hey, Nash, how are you?
I'm doing great. How about you, Peter?
I'm doing very well. I'm in Pittsburgh. What do you do there in Raleigh?
I'm a transactional attorney.
Okay.
Oh, no.
Every attorney I've ever met is transactional. I have found, much to my frustration, that I have to give them money to get them to do stuff. But what do you mean by that?
I don't litigate. I'm just a contracts attorney. Yeah, I do real estate and things like that.
Right. So you sit there and you help draw up the contracts. You sit and explain to people like me what these pieces of paper are that we're signing.
Yes.
Right. And I'm assuming you're constantly lying about that. Because I have no way of knowing.
I've never done that, ever.
Never, ever. Well, Nash, yes. Welcome to the show. Bill Curtis is going to read you three news-related limericks with a last word or phrase missing from each. If you can fill in that last word or phrase correctly in two of the limericks, you'll be a big winner. Ready to play?
Ready.
Here is your first limerick.
There is a calm here. You cannot deny it. Our cafe, where a sneeze causes riot. There's no music or talking. You try it, you're walking. Our cafe here has strict peace and...
quiet?
Yes, quiet. A new cafe in Osaka, Japan. You know, cafes in Japan, they have animals, all kinds of different gimmicks. Well, this gimmick is complete silence. No music playing. Talking is completely discouraged. It's just you, your tea, and more loud chewing noises than a cicada emergence.
So it's like the quiet car on the train,
exactly.
Except not moving.
Yes.
I love that.
You do?
Yeah, I think so. Because you're not even allowed to have a conversation.
Not at all.
Even like with somebody. So like if you sensed, and I'm not saying this happened, that somebody wanted to break up with you and said, let's meet up, we need to talk. I said, great, I'll meet you just in Osaka. We'll go in there, and then he wouldn't be able to do it, would he? Would you, Henry?
All right. In this scenario, you've flown to Osaka, you've gone into this cafe, you've met up with this guy.
He's trying to break up with me.
Henry.
And so you're in the cafe, but then what do you do? Because as soon as you leave, you
and then he says, you know, I think you're a great person. And we all say, shh.
And you just stay there forever.
Yeah. We don't move. Maybe I get on one knee and I take out a ring and
because
do the first silent proposal.
Oh, like a mime proposal.
Mime proposal.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, there's nothing against mime at this cafe, right?
Or engagements.
I'll have to get back to them and let you know. Yeah. All right. Here, Nash, is your next limerick.
Though some lexicographers dabble, our word game is meant for the rabble. So let's stop flipping boards. Don't throw tiles on the floor. Please collaborate when you play.
Scrabble.
Scrabble, yes. Mattel has announced Scrabble Together, a new version of the classic game Scrabble, intended to be less competitive and less intimidating. The idea is instead of competing with each other to gain points by making words, you do it together and you achieve mutual goals like, and this was a real one, play a horizontal word. So you can either play this version, get big points with your whole family, group of friends for doing that, or just play regular Scrabble, seize all the glory for yourself in just one move.
Or you play together Scrabble, and I partner with my daughter who can't read, and it's still clear that I have all the glory.
That's true.
But Nagin, your daughter's 17 now?
And I've kept her illiterate for a reason, Maeve.
Nagin really enjoys winning at Scrabble, that's all we need to say.
Yeah.
All right, Nash, here is your last limerick.
For us athletes, the Seine looks tray grim, 'cause with filth, it is filled to the brim. All the cleanup has failed. Even fish have turned tail. In these waters, we won't want to...
swim?
Right. Swimming in the River Seine in Paris has been banned for 100 years for health reasons. Think about that. It was so filthy, they knew it was dangerous in the early 1920s. But France has promised to clean it up in time for the Olympics this summer so the long-distance swimmers can swim in it. That will be difficult because recent tests show it is still swarming with E. coli. In fact, it's so thick with bacteria, they might be able to run the marathon on top of it.
It sounds very unsanitary.
I think they should switch it up totally.
Yes.
Yeah.
Drain the Seine, fill it up with baguettes, and have it just be a different type of game.
I think that's probably more realistic than trying to clean it.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah. Bill, how did Nash do in our quiz?
Nash, here's the transaction. You get 3 wins for a perfect score. Do you accept?
Congratulations, Nash.
Yeah.
Nash, thank you so much for playing.
Yeah, thank you so much.
Take care, sir.
River running way too high. Dirty water, take your life.
If you've never donated to the NPR network before, that's okay. Public radio is available to everyone for free. But we do rely on listener support from those who are able to give. So join the community of supporters for Public Media Giving Days, coming up on May 1st and 2nd. Please give at donate.npr.org, and thank you.
Listen to Embedded for moments that stay with you.
I could smell the smoke. I could smell the dust.
Voices that resonate. Stories that change the way you think about your life.
How did we get here?
The Embedded podcast is NPR's home for original documentary series. Listen wherever you get your podcasts.
In this country, more than two local newspapers are closing down each week. As news deserts grow, public radio is a lifeline for staying informed. Keep that service strong with a donation to the NPR network at donate.npr.org. And thank you.
Time for our final game, Lightning Fill in the Blank. Each of our players will have 60 seconds in which to answer as many fill-in-the-blank questions as they can. Each correct answer now worth 2 points. Bill, can you give us the scores?
Legine has 3. Bo and Maeve each have 4.
Oh, my goodness.
What?
I'm not even sure how that happened, but
yeah.
Nagin, okay. You are in second place.
Great.
So you're going to start us off. Here we go. The clock will start when I begin your first question. Fill in the blank. Despite multiple attempts to delay it, a judge ruled that Blank's hush money trial will begin next week.
Trump.
Yes. On Thursday, President Biden held the first ever summit between the U.S., the Philippines, and Blank.
Japan.
Yes. This week, accused murderer and football star Blank died at the age of 76.
O.J. Simpson.
Yes. On Tuesday, the White House finalized a new national standard to limit so-called blank chemicals in drinking water.
E. coli.
No, they're called forever chemicals. This week, 3 men were rescued from a desert island after they blanked.
After they did a bunch of ecstasy.
No. After they used palm leaves to spell out help in the sand. According to the Wall Street Journal, a number of companies are now vying to make taking blank cool and sexy.
Taking getting fired.
No. They're now vying to make taking fiber supplements cool and sexy. Fiber One, you've all heard of it. You know who takes that. But are you familiar with Belly Welly, whose slogan, this is true, is hot girls have IBS. The race to create hip, sexy fiber supplements is on. This is why you're soon going to see the catchphrase, Metamucil, we're into butt stuff.
Oh, my goodness, Peter.
Bill, how did Nagin do on our quiz?
3 right, total of 9. She's in the lead.
All right, Maeve, you are up next. Fill in the blank. This week, another system of dangerous blanks passed through the southeast.
Another? Oh, earthquakes.
No, storms. On Monday, Norfolk Southern agreed to pay $600 million to settle lawsuits over the 2023 blank in East Palestine, Ohio.
The train?
The train derailment, yes. This week, a woman, very good. This week, a woman received a $105 speeding ticket in the mail, even though in the photo, her car was blank.
She's asleep in the car.
No, her car was in the back of a tow truck. On Monday, blank beat Purdue to win their second consecutive NCAA title.
Chicken,
no. UConn, the University of Connecticut. This week, a mother and daughter in Texas were arrested for blanking without a permit.
Oh, kissing?
Not kissing.
God.
Oh, my God. No. No, they were arrested for providing people with butt injections without a permit.
Oh, never do that. Take it from me, fellas.
According to police, the two women had injected tons of people's butts with a, quote, unlabeled brown liquid. So if you've ever paid a mom and daughter in Texas to inject a mystery liquid into your butt, first of all, you look amazing. And also, your butt is now filled with old swamp water. Bill, how did Maeve do in our quiz?
Well,
good, right? The train, remember I got the train?
Yeah, you did. You did. You got one right.
Oh!
All right then, Bill. How many does Mo need to win?
3 to win.
3? Just 3. Here we go,
I've
Mo.
Already won.
Bo, this is for the game. Fill in the blank. On Tuesday, five major TV networks urged President Biden and Donald Trump to commit to participating in televised blanks.
Debates.
Yes, according to new data on Wednesday, the U.S. blank rate has risen higher than expected.
Inflation.
Yes, rate. This week, the state Senate in Tennessee passed a bill allowing teachers to carry blanks in school.
Firearms.
Right. According to Nielsen data, the women's blank final drew over 19 million viewers.
The NCAA basketball final.
Right. Yeah. Just 1 week after he was fined for throwing a bumper at another car, NASCAR driver Joey Gase blanked.
He threw a carburetor at the same driver.
No. He got a sponsorship with a bumper company. Following a dispute between TikTok and her record label, Blank's music is now back on the social media site.
I mean, it's always Taylor Swift.
It's always Taylor Swift. On Wednesday, health officials once again warned states about rising blank cases.
COVID.
Measles. This week, a man named Iron Man made headlines for blanking at a bar in Brooklyn.
For smelting at a bar.
No, for ironing customers' shirts for free.
Iron Man. Nice.
It's such a fun idea because who hasn't been surrounded by drunk people at 1 a.m. in Brooklyn and thought, you know what this place needs? Somebody holding something scalding hot.
Oh.
Bill, did Mo do well enough to win?
Well, he got five right for 14 more points. He's the winner!
Yay!
Congratulations to Mo. In just a minute, we're going to ask our panelists to predict after the cicadas what will be the next thing to emerge after years of being hidden away. But first, let me tell you that Wait, Don't Tell Me is a production of NPR and WBEZ Chicago in association with Urgent Haircut Productions. Doug Berman, Benevolent Overlord. Philip Godke writes our limericks. Our public address announcer is Paul Friedman. Our tour manager is Shayna Donald. BJ Lederman composed our theme. Our program is produced by Jennifer Mills, Miles Dernboss, and Lillian King. Special thanks this week to Monica Hickey and Blythe Robertson. Peter Gwynn is our Iron Man. Emma Choi is our vibe curator. Technical directions from Lorna White. Our CFO is Colin Miller. Our production manager is Robert Newhouse. Our senior producer is Ian Chillog. And the executive producer of Wait, Don't Tell Me is Mike Tech Support Danforth. Now, panel, after the cicadas, what is going to appear next after being away for a while? Maeve Higgins.
My fiancé, Henry. Come back to me. I won't do it again, Henry.
Nagin Farsad.
Powdered wigs and Tudor collars. They both look so comfortable.
And Mo Rocca.
The truth. Damn it all to hell, Peter.
The truth!
And if any of that happens, we're going to ask you about it on Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Thank you, Bill Curtis. Thanks also to Maeve Higgins, Mo Rocca, and Nagin Farsad. Thanks to the staff and crew at the Benedum Center. Thanks to everyone at WESA in Pittsburgh. Thanks to our fabulous audience who came to this beautiful place in this beautiful city. And thanks to all of you for listening out there. I'm Peter Sagal. We'll see you next week. This is NPR.
On NPR's Throughline.
We cannot function for 24 hours without cobalt because it's in our smartphone, our tablet, our laptop. And as a consequence, the lives of the people living in that part of the Congo descended into just a catastrophe.
Find NPR's Throughline wherever you get your podcasts.
On It's Been a Minute, we're keeping you in the know when it comes to culture. I break down the latest trends and the forces behind them and introduce you to the creatives who think deeply about how we live today. Come for some good old cultural analysis and have a few laughs with me. Listen to the It's Been a Minute podcast from NPR.
Do you ever wish you could get your stories in 3 hours rather than 3 minutes? Or maybe you're sick of doom scrolling, getting your news in bits and pieces. That is where Embedded comes in. We bring you documentary series that will change the way you think about things. Find us wherever you get your podcasts.